Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley and Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 385, entitled Revolutionizing Newsletters, Xaver Biersack's Journey with his Mailster Plugin. It was published on Thursday the 15th of August, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before the interview, a few short bits of housekeeping. If you're enjoying what we do at WP Builds, why not subscribe? Head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. That will show you all of the different places that we produce content. The best thing to do, though, is to sign up to our newsletter. And if you do that, we will give you two emails a week. One when we do our This Week in WordPress show, which is recorded live on a Monday at 2 p.m. UK time, and then repurposed as a podcast the very next day for your delectation. But also, every Thursday, we'll send you an email so that you can be alerted to a new podcast episode, just like the one that you're listening to now. The other thing to do, of course, is to subscribe on your podcast player of choice and perhaps go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/WPBuilds, and like and subscribe so that you can be alerted when we push new content out there. WPBuilds.com/subscribe. The other thing to mention is that if you are in the business of WordPress and you have a product or service that you would like to put in front of a WordPress-specific audience, we have options for you. We do have a WordPress-specific audience. And if you go to wpbuilds.com/advertise, you'll learn how you can get in front of that audience, a bit like these three fine companies did. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps make you $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds Podcast. The whole show could not happen without their support. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I said at the top of the show, it's Xaver Biersack. We're talking today about Mailster. Now, Mailster is a plugin that you can install in your WordPress website, and it enables you to send all sorts of really sophisticated emails. So think of something like MailChimp and the builder that they've got there. Think of the fact that you can segment audiences, you can send out drip content, you could send out automated content. When episodes like podcasts or posts that you put on your blog are sent out, it really is a fantastic solution and a complete rival to all sorts of SaaS platforms that do a similar thing. So in today's conversation, we discover how it all got started and how Xaver started with Envato. We then talk about the capabilities of Mailster, how it handles sending out emails and how many it can send. We talk about the pitfalls of things like Gmail and how you figure out what gets sent to your spam folder. Data protection and compliance is also under inspection. But also we talk about the new features which are going to be coming to Mailster in the future. It's all coming up on the podcast, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Xaver Biersack. How are you doing, Xaver?
Hi, Nathan. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Xaver and I actually didn't know each other until a little while ago when I was at WordCamp Asia. Xaver was at WordCamp Asia. And I don't remember if we bumped into each other in the hall or if we bumped into each other at the walk that that we both went on after the event.
It was the walk.
Yeah.
Leslie Sim did this, organized it. And there we met the first time. Yeah.
We went on a walk, which was supposed to be mostly horizontal, and it was anything other than horizontal. It was quite
a
story.
Not only 2 hours.
yeah, that's right. Anyway, enough of that. But Xaver and I ended up talking, and it turned out that the product that Xaver builds, which is called Mailster, is a product that I've used. And so that was really nice, because it is quite often the case that I'll interview people, and really I'm learning on the conversation about what the product does. But in your case, I think I've got a fairly good intuition about how it works. But I won't steal your thunder. You can get to describe it. Dear listener, maybe the first thing to do is to go to Xaver's website. It's called mailster.co. So mailster.co, C-O. Go there, check out the product, then come back and you'll be fully familiar with what's going on as well. But a little bit of background about you, Xaver. Do you just want to spend a moment or two telling us a little bit about yourself, where you live, how long you've been working in tech and WordPress?
Yeah, I'm Xaver from Austria. I am in tech, I would say about 20 years now. When we start, I started with Flash, actually. It was in early 2002 years or something. So I started with Flash, and then I HTML, JavaScript and all this stuff. And I had a small agency in 2006. And I did what everyone was doing, like building websites for local clients, and did everything from print and even 3D animations. At some point, I like to focus on HTML stuff. And in 2009 or 10, I found the Envato marketplaces, especially ThemeForest. And I was looking around things what I can do there to get some passive income. It was the idea. And then I stumbled upon email templates, and I thought, okay, they look pretty basic and in terms of how they are built, and I can do that. So I did my first email template, and I got rejected twice, and then I redo it again. And in the end of 2010 or January 2011, I released my first item on the Envato marketplace, which was ThemeForest. And I expected to have a monthly income of $400, so which helped me to build my agency. And in the first month, I got $800.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, okay, this works. And so I keep releasing email templates and other stuff, and it went really well. It was the, I call it the Wild West back then, when everything wasn't regulated and there was not that many competition there. And so for a good year or so, I did email templates and also an admin skin. And in 2012, I was thinking about how to market my email templates more. And then I came to the idea, a tool where people can use my email templates to send out newsletters. So MailChimp was big at the time already, and I know it, and my templates were, you can use them with MailChimp. But I thought I could build my own tool. And WordPress was on my radar, and I basically choose WordPress because of the market share. And also Envato was really focusing on WordPress back then. So this is was the time when I built my first plugin ever for WordPress, and it was Mailster. It wasn't Mailster back then. We had a naming switch at some time. But in 2012, I released the very first version of MyMail back then. So it was Mailster now, but it was MyMail back then. And yeah, and it was really, I got really good feedback, and I shipped new versions, and I brought new features, and I iterated often. And yeah, it took off pretty well on the Envato marketplace. And so fast forward to 2016, when I went to my very first WordCamp Europe in Vienna, I partnered up with a guy from Vienna, and then we decided to change the name because of legal reasons with an American company and so on. And this partnership didn't went out well, so we split it up again in 2019 or so, and then I was on my own again. And then I started to adopt things to make it GDPR compliance for the user, and incorporated new stuff, new add-ons, new templates. And now we are at version 4.0, which was released about a month ago. And in last year, in March, I moved away from Envato, because the sales were declining, and also the focus on the marketplaces were shifted a little bit. And so I decided to go to a different vendor to sell my product, and go to a subscription based model. So I get the recurring, income, and it was a good decision after all.
That is quite a story, actually. There's an awful lot in there. A few things to unpack. Firstly, bravo for pulling this off. You've built something which is incredibly complicated. I don't mean complicated to use. I mean, it's complicated from your perspective. You know, there's an awful lot of moving pieces, and it's really, really well done. And I was using it when it was My Mail. I remember that. I remember your logo, and I was using it. And I also remember the transition when I guess you must have emailed or something to say that, you know, we're changing.
Yeah, it was a little bit tough thing, because I like to rename all variables internally and database names.
Oh, really? You went soup to nuts.
I went this route. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was using it, you know, absolutely blown away, I've got to say. The Envato marketplace, Theme Forest, Code Canyon, and all that, it was really popular back then, wasn't it? I feel like the shine has gone off that a little bit. I don't even know if that marketplace is still popular or productive for the people in it, but you obviously decided to move away. It's quite a brave decision, but it seems like it's worked. I believe when I bought it, the options in that were available were you sort of paid once. You just paid this one fee,
exactly,
and you got like this lifetime deal. And obviously that's not really sustainable. Anybody who's got
Exactly. That's good for the buyers, but not for the authors. And also actually not good for the buyers, because if you don't spend much money on the product, you may get any support for the product anymore, or it will just vanish. And so many big brands left Envato. So I think that's a huge a topic for another session.
Yeah, we can go into all of that. But, but anyway, congratulations for keeping it going for really now a very long time. I'm just going to try and describe what it does. And basically, it does the job of a SaaS. So if you imagine like something like MailChimp, but inside of WordPress, you know, a plugin that you own and you run inside of your WordPress website, it's really on that scale. You know, you can create your emails with something akin to block functionality, but this was way before there was the block editor. But you could drag in like a page builder style, and again, kind of before a lot of the page builders came along. But that very similar experience, you know, you've got images of what the little bits of your template look like, and you drag those in, and they then sit inside of your template. You can move them around. You can obviously interact and adapt the text and all of that. And then once you've sent it, it will give you everything that you expect in terms of analytics, how many opens, where were the opens, when did they open, and all of that. And it all happens inside of WordPress. So, you know, you're owning your own data. That's kind of nice. You're not having to pay for a third-party subscription. And then it'll connect with a bunch of email services, because we all know it's not a good idea to send email from your own server. That's going to end in disaster. Yeah. And I think the one that I chose back in the day was Amazon SES, which is Amazon's simple email service. It was trivially easy. You know, you set it up on the Amazon side, and then you connect the bits and pieces in Mailster, and you're off to the races. It just works. So it really does offer that SaaS-like feel. And I've got to say, if you were building something like that, and this was your more or less first shot at something, that's pretty impressive, Xaver.
Yeah, thank you. That's also a problem I have, that it was so successful, because people say if you like to get successful, you have to build 10 things and 9 of them fail. So my very first one basically was a win already. So the next 9 one will fail. So I'm a little bit afraid to start a new big thing. Maybe that's the reason, or I'm just lazy. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess anybody's going to tell you that the first 9 things will fail because they've had the experience of the first 9 things failing. And of course, when you hit on the one that's the success, stop there for a bit. You know, you're not going to say, oh, this is a brilliant success, now I need some failure. No.
Yeah, that's what's in my mind.
Yeah. Is it just you, though? Is it you that basically carries the can for this, or do you...
Yes, I hired some support agent a while back, so I guess in 2019, which really helped me to get away from support, from doing support. I still jump in on very technical questions and very specific ones, so I still jump in on them. And when a major release is there, then I constantly monitor support requests, so I get quickly on eventual problems with a very new feature. Also, although then I'm still back in support, but I usually my day job is not doing support anymore. It really helps me focusing on other things where I'm good at it, like developing, or where I'm bad at it, like marketing. But it's hard to find good people. And I don't want to throw money at something where I don't know what's the outcome. So
I have a friend who has a successful plugin, and he says that if you have a successful plugin and you're doing it by yourself, he said by year 3 you're running a support business. The support ends up being what you do with your day, because you know there's thousands of customers and they've all got questions and things, you know, unexpectedly arise, or you know, there's some plug-in conflict or something.
That's why I like to. I did a documentation site where I tried to put everything which come up more than once into a documentation. I also built in within the plugin a little question mark you can find all around the plugin, which you just click and then you can get help right in the plugin, which helps to reduce support requests. So our support requests are most of the time very specific. So, or people are just didn't check out the docs. So
yeah, you're always going to get that.
Yeah,
people are. It's easier to write an email than it is to read the docs,
but
isn't
it? No problem.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So why would you want to do this as a plugin as opposed to a SaaS? You know, you can go to MailChimp, you can pay your subscription over there, and that's all taken care of. Are there any sort of high-level reasons why having this inside of a WordPress website is a good idea?
Yes, of course, because many of my customers have data concerns. So the second biggest audience of my customers are Germans, because they, and also Austrians, are very concerned when it comes to data protection. They really like to push this GDPR thing to the max, and really like to have to own their data. And you know, with Mailster, you can store everything within your WordPress setup. So of course, if you have your website hosted on a US company, on a US server, the data will be there as well. But usually Germans especially try to host them within the European Union, which makes it much easier to be GDPR compliant, because there's this safe harbor agreement, which is now no longer something. There's something coming up. So when GDPR was a thing in 2018, many people came over from MailChimp because they have no idea how MailChimp handles their data. They were all stored on a US servers, and they were looking for alternatives, and MailStore was a solution for them. And I have an importer for MailChimp, so you can import your contacts from MailChimp pretty easily with all the data they have. But you of course have to do the automations again, and you have to build up your campaigns again. But yeah, in terms of data storage, many people prefer that it's all inside WordPress.
Okay, so we're talking about subscribers. Imagine you've got an email list with 10,000 people on it. If you are running MailChimp, they're somewhere that MailChimp's infrastructure is. Who knows where? But if you've got a German customer and they've paid for a German hosting company, and they know that that server is located inside the boundaries of Germany, then you know that that's inside your WordPress database. And so, you know, you take on the responsibility of that, but also you don't have to worry about the fact that it's sitting somewhere else. Is the data about subscribers, are they just WordPress users? Or do you have a separate, you know, table somewhere that you store all of that?
Exactly. They're separated, which makes it easier to not pollute your user database. Some customers of mine have thousands of subscribers in their database, even millions, some of them. So if there were WordPress users, they all have access to your WordPress site at some point or somehow. Maybe they're just a subscriber role, but they all have this kind of access to your WordPress site. And so I decided to have my own table of subscribers, but they are connected. If there is a WordPress user with the same email, they are connected, and MailStore treat them like they are a WordPress user. So you can do some segmentations on editors or subscribers or contributors, or the other role is admins, for instance. So you can do that because the subscribers and the WordPress users are connected if there are the same users with the same email address.
Does the plugin, so obviously we've said that it connects to a bunch of different mail services, and we can go into what they are in a minute, but yeah, does the plugin then connect and send like batches of email? So let's say I've got a list of, again, 10,000 people, something like that. When I click go or send or whatever it may be in MailChimp, I'm just, you know, I forget about it. I'm just assuming it's going to work. But on the Mailster side, presumably my server is now beginning to take action and do things on my behalf. And I'm guessing if it tried to send out 10,000 emails, you know, in quick succession, things are going to go wrong, especially on more modest hosting. So how do you break that batch up of jobs? Do you start, I don't know, do you do like 10 and then wait a few seconds and then 10 more? Just let us know what goes on.
Yes, you have a queue. So everything should be sent in Mailster get queued first. And then there's a dedicated process which handles the queue. And you can put in 10,000 emails in this queue, no problem. But it takes some time, and how long it takes depends on your server and your settings. I have a feature which is called, let's look it up quick. It's called automatic number of emails sent. I don't have a real good name for that, but basically, the process checks how many emails can be sent in a certain amount of time, which you decide. And then it tries to make it send more and more. And suddenly when it breaks, then it reduces it again. So it gets the perfect value. In general, I always say 2 to 3 emails per second, depending on your server. But that's a reasonable amount of emails you can send.
So yeah, you'll go through a list pretty quickly. I seem to remember that in Amazon settings, after you've been sending emails for a period of time, they allow that rate to rise. I believe it was like something like 28 per second when I opened the account, and then they bumped it up for me to, like, I don't know, 100 per second or something like that.
Yeah, technically it's that that amount of emails, but you have always this bottleneck of your server to the Amazon server. So I always recommend to use an Amazon server close to your web server, and they have plenty across the globe, in the UK, in the US, all around the world. They have servers which do the emails delivery. And if your web server and the Amazon server is close by, the throughput of emails is, of course, much higher. But it's not about sending out one or two emails per second or 10 emails per second. It's more like, it depends on how many emails you have. If you have 10,000 emails, that's not a thing. They're sent out in a couple of minutes. So it doesn't matter if they're sent in 5 minutes or 15 minutes. It's just, it's vanity.
Yeah. So long as they go out, it's, you know, whether one goes out 10 minutes after another.
People try to push it as quickly as possible, but it doesn't matter if the email arrives at 9 or at 9:10.
Yeah,
in the inbox of your users. And also there's an option that you can send time zone based sendings. So if you know the time zone of the subscriber, Milster can handle that all of them get the email at their local time. So if you like to get them at 9 in the morning, but if they're located in New York or in Singapore, they all get them at 9 in the morning. So you know what I mean? So if you have the time zone, you can incorporate this, and this makes it even, it's not required to send so quickly.
Yeah.
Because you maybe send only 10 emails at this hour, and in the next hour you send 200 emails. So it's not that much anymore.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I guess there's quite a lot going on with the server as well, because let's say, for example, I'm batching and I've got this 10,000 email list to send out to, and it begins, the process begins, and the first 1,000 have gone out. There's also the tracking of the 1,000 that have gone out that presumably is coming back to my website. So somebody's opened an email, clicked on a link. You've somehow got to write the data that link got clicked. So you're sending and receiving kind of all at the same time.
This tracking, that's just clicks which are rerouted via your website. So even if you have outbound clicks like to a YouTube video, you still hit your own server. But it's usually I have about 10,000 active users I send regularly, and there is basically no impact on my server. So
nice.
And I have a very cheap droplet on DigitalOcean. So it's the second expensive. It's $16 per month droplet or $14 per month droplet. So there is no, and I even have sites with the lowest tier, like $6 or $7 per month for a droplet, and there is no impact in terms of loading performance as far as I know. So like,
yeah, that's really interesting.
Because if you have millions of subscribers or thousands and multiple of thousands, you may get an impact, of course. But I'm not sure if Mailster is good for you if you have thousands, 10,000s, 100,000s, or even million of subscribers, because you should go to an enterprise solution.
Ah, interesting.
And I'm not focusing on this kind of users, because it's just everything's getting slower. If you run a subscribers queries with conditions, and you have a lot of conditions in Mailster, it's getting hard to calculate all of the data, because it's just the regular MySQL database in the background. So
maybe
you should consider a different solution if you have
millions
or thousands or 100,000 of subscribers.
That makes sense. You mentioned segmentation, and one obvious segment there might be the geographical location. But can you do other kind of automations and segmentations? I mean, I know that you can, but can you give us a few examples of the kind of things that you can automate with this, or ways that you can segment it and then automate it?
In general, you can send every transactional email from WordPress as well. So if you like to send the password resets email or WooCommerce order confirmation, you can either don't handle them at all, or you can just wrap the MailStat templates around the content. So you use any sending method you're already using, but just use the MailStat template around, or you use MailStat delivery methods to send all your WP_mail emails out, like WooCommerce stuff and so, and email resets and so. So MailStat can handle any email from your WordPress site. But what was the question?
Yeah, automations. Some of the things that you can do.
Automations, you can, with 4.0, which was released last month, I introduced new automations with customer journeys. So where you have a kind of trigger and then run a journey with, like, okay, if someone signs up, then send a welcome email, then wait a day and send the second email. You know what? You see this kind of builders on other SaaS services. You can do this now in MailStat as well. And there are several kind of triggers. For instance, list sign up, forms submission. If a custom field of a subscriber changed, if a tag is added or removed, if a certain page is visited from a subscriber, you can trigger some automation. And you can even decide if certain conditions happen. So if, for instance, if someone signs up and has a first name of John, then run the automation. Well, yeah. I don't know.
That's great though. I love it.
With conditions. And since it's pretty new, the automation system, since a month now, I try to evolve it. I already have plans for 4.1, which should be released in May, for new features. And you can do birthday campaigns. Like, you have the birthday from a subscriber and you send them once a year with some offset. So if you like to send it a day in advance or one day later, which doesn't make sense. A birthday greeting for a special discount, so you can set it up and basically forget. You shouldn't forget your automations, but you can set it up and forget it, and it runs in the background. And you get the stats as well, so like how many people got this campaign and how many opened it and so on.
The thing that I used it for, and I guess you would have this, I suppose, it's not really an automation, but I used it because I'm using WordPress and I wanted to send the content of a post out in the email. And my recollection was that you build a template that you're happy, you know, you give it a header. In my case, you put the WP Builds logo in there and maybe add some other menu items or whatever it may be. And then you drop in what I'm going to call is a short code for the content. And then every time that I would send out a post, that would automatically, the post itself, the content of the post would get wrapped in the email template that I created. And you just didn't have to think about it. You just knew that your subscriber list, which was growing or shrinking, or, you know, things were getting bounced. Yep. And then somebody was sent to, you know, don't send to them, they're bouncing and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it would just happen. So actually, as a WordPress user, for me, that was the most credible bit. That was the bit that I was hooked into because I wanted to send my content. So, you know, dear listener, you're probably a WordPress user. If you've got the inclination that you want to send out content that you're creating and you don't want to think about it, you don't want to copy and paste that content, send over to MailChimp, paste it over there, off you go. You know, you just hit publish in WordPress and it's done. So that was the use that I put it to, and it was great.
Yeah, sending a latest post is a feature which is there for 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah.
So since the very beginning of the plugin, because it's so naturally you have access to the posts of the same page. That's also MailChimp or others can just rely on RSS feeds. And as we all know, RSS feeds are not that flexible, like having access to the actual data on the same database. Yeah. Mailster can use RSS if you have different sites and like to use RSS feeds. For instance, I have a case where they send the latest three RSS feeds from New York Times. Every time three are released, I say every time three new RSS items are released, which happens quite often on New York Times, an email will be sent. So this is possible also.
Oh, so that's consuming an RSS feed from somewhere else and then turning
from somewhere
that
else,
into...
Yeah, of course. Ah, you can use the RSS feed from the same site, but this doesn't make sense, of course, because you have the data in the post table. But you can use any other RSS feed to do some automations like that.
So the way that I worked it as well is, and again, just to sort of describe the interface a little bit, imagine like a page builder or the block editor. You know, you drag in the title, drag in that, and you've now got the title in your email, and then you can drag in an image and you can say, okay, the featured image goes there. And then, you know, you want a bit of text underneath that and you want a button. So you drag in a button and you tell it, okay, the button should go to the URL or whatever. And you set that template up, save it, and then connect it to the when a post is published trigger.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're off to the races. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You in Mailster, you have your email templates are modules. I call it modules because block wasn't a thing back then. So they are modules. And each model can have a reference to a post. And that's not a certain post, but also some relative post, like insert the latest post or insert the second latest post from this category at the time when the email is sent. And then you have to decide when the email actually gets sent. So if you insert the last, the second last and third last post and send the email every time three posts have been published, you get the exact the content you need. Every three posts, not on every post, but on every three posts.
Every time a third post, or I guess you could just say, I don't know, just let's go Friday, 2 o'clock, every Friday, 2 o'clock.
It's a different kind of automation, but you can say, send it every Friday and include every post which has been released up to three, or how you said it.
Yeah. So you'd have the main one, the latest one, and then underneath that, maybe a bit smaller or something like that, in a little grid or, you know, with a bunch of columns.
What people prefer most of the time. So get a newsletter every week or every month. But then you have to do a post also, so there's some content.
Right. Otherwise, you send the same
maybe
content.
Maybe better to say, okay, when I hit the third post, a newsletter is sent, and you can cancel it, of course, because you have to say, send it not right away, but send it in an hour after the post is published.
So obviously, if you've got a website where you are creating content, this is a no-brainer, isn't it? If you've got an email list and you want to send out your WordPress content, this will work. So you can, there's all of those different options, and we've really barely touched the surface. You could, I'm sure, drill really deep down into all of this. But so it'll send regular WordPress emails. It'll send your bespoke emails. It can send both if you want at the same time. There's a load of automations. You can get templates. So obviously that was something that you mentioned at the beginning. You don't have to design from scratch. You can either purchase, or there's a bunch of free templates where you can just sort of drop them in.
Yeah, as well. And I'm planning to do more. I have now plans. It wasn't possible in Envato. I have now different plans, and with some plans you get more templates.
Okay. But you can just roll your own. You know, you can just start from scratch and with a blank canvas, and then you just save those templates somewhere. It's, you know, if you're a WordPress user and you know your way around WordPress, this whole templating system
is email templates,
easy.
Email HTML is a little bit harder or different than other templates. So it's not easy like a page builder, and you get the HTML and use it as email because it doesn't work. So with email templates, email HTML, we're still in the 90s.
Yeah.
There's tables with a lot of tables.
Actually, I remember using your templates and just clicking the HTML button and looking at what was in there as a guide for me to understand what was allowed and what wasn't allowed, you know, and how you'd got your tables set out and all of that kind of stuff. And you could just drop your own content in.
Also use the HTML and use it somewhere else.
Yeah.
It also works.
Yeah.
Because you don't have this, the way you can edit it. It's not possible on other builders, of course.
Yeah.
But you can use the layout to use it somewhere else that should work.
Yeah. So the services that you send from, and this may not be entirely everything, but I'll read out the ones. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard of these. SendGrid, MailJet, AWS, so SES, I'm guessing, SparkPost, MailAssend, MailGone, and also Gmail, curiously. I guess that's for those of you that are sending less than 200 a day or something.
I don't recommend it, but it was a huge demand on using Gmail, so built an add-on for it.
Yeah, I guess if you're just sending like a handful, right? Fair enough.
Gmail is very strict in terms of sending, mass bulk sending. So I don't recommend it really. I really recommend Amazon SES. They're really cheap.
It's ridiculously cheap. Honestly, I'm going to make up a number, but I think it's about, what, one US cent per 1,000 emails or something like that?
It's that. No, it's $1, one US dollar for 10,000 emails. So it's
okay, whatever that works out to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still cheap. I pay about $2 or $3 per month for my email. So it's like not even worth to do all the accounting for just.
It is amazing. And the way
the others are good as well. So if you prefer a different company, you can, many of them have free plans, which I don't recommend because you're in a shared pool, in shared IP pool, where also some spammers are maybe have the same IP address and they get blocked. And so it's better to pay a little bit and be safe instead of going for free. And also don't send via your own server because they're not supposed to be used as an email, bulk email sender. It all depends. If you have only a couple of subscribers, I have some users which only have 50, 60 subscribers and I'll just like keep them updated. You can, of course, go with your regular web posts. No problem. But if you go into the thousands and send regularly, you may facing problems with Gmail and Yahoo.
Yeah. Then there's a bunch of add-ons as well, just to sort of cement the deal, maybe. If you're, I don't know, you might have a form plugin, for example, that you're using, and wouldn't it be handy if you could take the what was consumed by that form and then plug it into Mailster? So, I mean, I'm just looking, the page is mailster.co/add-ons, all as one word. And I can see here, just right off the bat, Gravity Forms, WS Form. You've obviously got a connection to MailChimp. You mentioned that, AR Forms and a whole bunch of other things like Ninja Pop-Ups, which was a thing back in the day. Loads and loads of different options. Some of it connected to membership sites like MemberPress. Some of it connected to selling products like Easy Digital Downloads. Yeah, there's absolutely loads in there. So you've spent a lot of time integrating with the wider ecosystem so that it's not just this silo.
It's important to have a lot of connections or a lot of integration, which is a opportunity for partnerships or some kind of partnerships, which helps both of us. So for instance, WS Forms is a really, really good form builder plugin. And you can even do more, much more than my form builder built for WordPress, built for Mailster can do. Because I have just a pop-up kind of form builder, but with WS Forms, you can build so much more and do conditional checks and so on. And if you like to use it or already use it, you can just connect them. So I also like to have them as subscribers, and I just enable the extension and do some settings stuff, and then you're ready to go.
Yeah, so you got the name and email field, but then of course you could have as many other fields as you wanted because it's a form plugin. It's doing what it does well. It's got loads of other fields like, I don't know, uploading images or whatever, files or other conditional logic going on there. And it will integrate with those as well. So as of this moment, and caveat emptor, dear listener, this may change. Obviously, it's up to Xaver what he wants to do with this. But the pricing is as follows. If you want to just have it on the one site, then it's $79 per year. And there are some caveats around that, like the number of automations and things like that. You can go up for $99 a year and you get more automations and more pre-checks and all of that kind of stuff. And then there's an agency option, which is $199. This is US dollars per year. But it's all on, as you'd expect, mailster.co/pricing. You can check it out there. I think if we're up in the 40-minute mark, we've probably got about what we want to out of that particular episode. Ksava, is there anything you think we missed? Or if not, do you just want to drop a... Do you want to drop some sort of Twitter handle or email address? Or no, don't do that. Or something else where people can find you if they want to talk to you about Mailster.
Yeah, I'm usually on Twitter. My handle is @xaver_. And a lot of things are still missing, but we cannot do this at all because it's so much. It's an old plugin. It's about 11 years old now. So a lot have changed and a lot have been added and a lot of features there. But if anyone wants to reach out, just Twitter is the perfect place to say hi. And yeah, my DMs are open.
Nice.
If you want to chat in private.
Okay, no, perfect. Well, Ksava, really enjoyed chatting to you today. Bravo for building such an impressive, well, I'm going to say SaaS product inside of a plugin. It's amazing. And if you haven't heard of it before, which, you know, may be the case, go check it out. But if you've heard of it before and you haven't looked at it recently, go check it out as well, because sounds like version 4 was a pretty big update. Version 4.1 dropping in May. That sounds like a nice update as well. So Ksava, have a nice day. Thanks for chatting to me on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan, for having me.
Okay, that is all I've got for you this week. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you've got any commentary on that, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 385, and leave us a comment there. We would really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps make you $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, we're going to round off this podcast episode. We'll be back next Monday for a This Week in WordPress show. You can find that at wpbuilds.com/live. Head to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/wpbuilds. And over there, you can like and subscribe. But also go to wpbuilds.com/subscribe and sign up to our newsletter. Don't forget, we've also got a Thursday podcast. That's what you're listening to now. You can find that in your podcast player of choice. But I'm going to stop now. I'm going to let you have a nice weekend, I hope. And I will see you here next week. I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.